Before we get started with this episode, we wanted to thank our listeners for your amazing support of this podcast. We can't wait to bring you future episodes, but we need your support. Just go to givebutter.com/melanatedmoments to help share more stories of exceptional Black artists with thousands of listeners across the U.S. and around the world.
And if you'd like more information on each episode, go to our website or follow us on social media.
Follow my foundation on Facebook at Morning Brown or on the web at morningbrown.org.
And follow me, Joshua Thompson, on Instagram as Sock Joplin. Everyone, and welcome back to another enthusiastic and exciting episode of Melanated Moments in Classical Music. I'm your co-host, Joshua Thompson.
And I'm Angela Brown. Joshua. Honey, I don't know about you, but this season has been so much fun exploring the melanated artistry in classical music.
Indeed it has. And you know, what I'm really loving about this season so far is how we just so happen to have a few special guests who are actively representing the brilliance and resurgence of the next generation in classical music in general, but what an emphasis on diasporic contributions specifically.
What did you just say? Yes! Melanin is alive and well in classical music, and we've got another example for our listening audience for this episode.
Well, thanks to you, we do. I'm going to take the lead a little bit on today's episode, but you are the one who came with the assist a few days ago for this dope special guest interview.
Me and my agent, Janet Gerald. There's a common link between all of us, but we'll get to that later. What diasporic dopeness do you have for us today, Mr. Joshua?
Well, today we are honored to have artist entrepreneur, violist, Instagram sensation, and, you know, like the Neil deGrasse Tyson of classical music.
All right now.
Name is Drew Ford, but he's more commonly known as
That Viola Kid.
Yeah, that's the one. Angela, listen, this guy is dope as all get out, and I am so excited to chop it up with this young brother who is out here killing the game. So, my man, the Viola Kid, Drew Ford, welcome to Melanated Moments in Classical Music.
Hey, Mr. Drew!
Hey, what's up, y'all? Thanks so much for having me, Angela and Joshua. You guys are really, I love the vibe. I love the energy. I feel like this is going to be a fun time.
Oh, we're going to have a good time. Mm-mm. I just want to bring in a couple of little memories. I think I actually spoke to you while you were still a student at Mercer University when Janet was your teacher.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Can you tell us about that? What was that class that I was speaking?
That was the her class she teaches. It's like the music business class.
Yes.
I was a part of the McDuffie Center for Strings, or McDuffie Center for Strings at Mercer University. And it's a conservatory that is pretty unique in that it requires that everybody take public speaking, business, entrepreneur classes, in addition to like the regular liberal arts curriculum and the conservatory curriculum. So every semester I went there was like full max 18 hours. Some of my classes had 0 hours just so I didn't have to overpay. You know,
That's such a cool course and study. It's comprehensive, right? There's the notes on the page, but then there's the entire world and crafting of a person, a personage, your verbiage. Like, that's just, man, I wish more institutions were doing that. So bravo, Mercer. Bravo, Janet. Right?
Yeah. Yes. A blessing to have them all. But Mr. Ford, can you tell us about yourself, how you got started in music, and how you became an instant Instagram celebrity?
Thank you so much. I don't even know if I even classify myself as like a celebrity, but
we do. So that's it.
I appreciate that. What I will definitely say is that there is so much advantage to being an early adopter in new spaces, especially when you feel in your gut that something is going to be the future. And okay. so if mm-hmm. I think that's like an essential element of entrepreneurship is noticing where are we going to be next, not where we are right now. Mm-hmm. But where I kind of began was in Peachtree City, Georgia. That's where I grew up. I was born in Atlanta. My parents moved down to Peachtree City when I was about 1.5. Uh-huh. And I spent my entire life until college there. I have always loved music. When I was, you know, a baby, mom would play Bach for me in the crib to make me go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, if there's a Bach in a concert, you know, I'd be dozing. Mozart too. It's Pavlovian at this point.
Hey, you know.
Sometimes when I'm playing it, I'm like, oh.
That's exactly it.
Like, what'd you do to me, mom?
But, so some people take melatonin, some people do tryptophan. You rock in the
Bach. I'd be that Bach, you know what I'm saying? The orchestral okay. Bach especially. But what happened beyond that was, you know, there was always music being played in the household. My father and my mother both love, you know, Kool and the Gang, mm-hmm. You know, Commodores.
Ooh, yep.
You talking about stuff.
Bill Withers, you know, just like old school, like jazz, funk.
Yes.
Disco.
I'm old enough to be your mama. I know.
No.
Wait. I know.
Drew, you're what? You're just 30 or just 30 what?
I'm 30.
Yeah, 30. Old soul.
Oh,
old
yeah. I'm definitely old enough here. To be your mama because all old of that was here. Played in my house Word. As well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, honey. Oh, yeah. So now, before we get any further, we do want to play some of your music. So could you set up this piece that we're going to hear? Long as you don't get drowsy.
Oh. Okay. No promises, though.
Okay. Just thinking about it. Okay, so this next piece is the first, like, real Bach cello suite that I performed and worked on to get into college. It is Bach cello suite number 2, the Prelude. And it's special to me because over the pandemic, when there was no work, and when I was watching so much like a societal awakening to the plight of African Americans, mm-hmm. and the, you know, George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, this is the piece that kept me kind of sane in all of that. So I wanted to share. This is like my definitive recording after about a year of working on it.
All right, let's hear it.
Thank you.
gorgeous. Oh, that was gorgeous. You know, thank I have to be you. Honest, I have never been like, oh, gotta run me that Bach. But, you know, Drew, as you were explaining the significance of this piece for you over the last few years, it was just even more poignant. And you can really hear all of yourself in this, your highs, your lows, your frustrations. I mean,
the clashy notes.
Yeah. Oh. So personal. I love it. Mm. You know, Drew, I was reading through, like I said earlier, I have been Instagram stalking you and I have scoured everything to figure about you. You do so much. You've given, you know, guest lectures and conferences at Juilliard, at MIT, at Harvard, at Berkeley, and Carnegie Hall, everywhere. But you are so much more than just a performer. If I understand correctly, you're into podcasting. You're doing a lot of genre bending type of productions with other artists. What was that trajectory, or what was that thing that made you click to say, this career is going to be more than just classical music? It's that, but it's something else, you know?
I think it's just more of like my personal ADD. And I've never been diagnosed. This is more of a joke, but I you know, the prospect of just playing classical music for the rest of my days seems limiting. Mm-hmm. And I think that as a multifaceted human being, I need to express myself in other ways. And I loved seeing my teachers at the McDuffie Center for Strings. You know, they would perform chamber music. They would perform solo music. They would play with orchestras. They would do this. They would do that. Mm-hmm. I loved the portfolio of different activities that have to do with music instead of just like the subscribed path of sitting in the back right. of a viola section for 47 years and dying on stage. So which did happen.
That did happen. Yeah.
It did happen in Atlanta.
So tell me, mm-hmm. because I tell a lot, I really like what you said about basically boiling down what you said, you have to have many streams of income. You have to have many, many colors to paint with. You have to have a melange of different vegetables to make a good stew. And you are willing to throw it all at the wall and see what sticks. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how you came to start doing some cover music of some popular artists?
That was like the immediate desire. You know, like the internet, we're still trying to decide as a like a human race whether or not the internet was a mistake, but
I feel some kind of way.
It's a coin flip on any given day.
Yeah,
but I think it was in the ultimate blessing in that, you know, it allows the whole breadth of knowledge and experience, you know, to be easily accessible. And so like when the internet came out and I was able to go on AOL, I started going on YouTube. I started like mm-hmm. looking for what other musicians were doing. And mm-hmm. As a kid, I was an avid video gamer. I loved movies. Mm. And so the first thing I did when I was in fifth grade, this is even before I picked up the viola. As soon as I knew how to read music, I wanted to play the Harry Potter theme. Like, that was exactly what I was trying to do on the bells, and I could only mm-hmm. get the first couple of measures, but that made me feel so happy that I could mm-hmm. play something that I recognized and that uh-huh. that other people recognized too. So the idea of making cover music was just essentially me connecting to what people listen to on a day-to-day mm-hmm. basis and then playing it for them. And especially mm-hmm. with a stringed instrument mm-hmm. in a way that they don't expect it to appear. And that's sort of like, I don't know, cognitive dissonance was what was really fascinating to me. And so I started really diving deep into doing that.
Okay. And I like that, right? Because a lot of people kind of bag on like cover bands, but you highlight there is an inherent utility in it. People want it, whether they know it or not. And it also sounds like it started as a personal you do it because it's your gift and you get to choose how you want to use it for yourself or for others, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's really important. I know you've got one queued up on deck. It is one I think many of our listeners will absolutely recognize. And I saved this one and I didn't listen to it because I wanted to be surprised. So mm-hmm. You got a little something going on with Alicia Keys. Am I correct?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
I was really inspired when I had the opportunity to perform with her for the American Music Awards back in 2019.
Oh, wow.
And she was one of the few, you know, A-list stars that I've worked with that actually comes and says hi to you, shakes your hand, looks you in the eye, and thanks you for being there. Mm. And that really meant a lot. And so, you know, growing up listening to her music and just seeing her in the flesh and getting to work with her, I was like, I need to kind of cement this feeling that I have. And that's what this cover was all about.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of If I Ain't Got You from Drew Ford and Alicia Keys.
Baby. Yes, yes. I'm over here singing off key.
Yes, I'm singing. Oh, yeah, honey, I was all in it.
Uh-huh. You and me both, yep.
Because you were actually playing with yourself. You did a backing track, and then you played on top of that, correct?
I created the whole arrangement. Everything in there was viola.
Mm.
That's a beautiful arrangement. It's it is. I'm gonna have to run it back. That's how it was good. I love it.
Hear that again, honey. We gonna put that on rap. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you know, I was looking through some additional notes on you and research. And one thing that you said that I loved that you said was that it's the intimacy, it's the rawness, it's the humanity that's what's most important and keeps me waking up every single day playing my instrument. And I think that's important for any young person out there listening to this podcast to know. It's got to be about the passion first before it can be about anything else. And I definitely hear this in every piece from Bach to Alicia Keys that you have played thus far.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. And I also see that you have also worked with Laura Karpman, and she and I did something together, the Grammy Award winning CD, Ask Your Mama, and you were on Lovecraft Country.
Yes.
So it's just, it's so exciting to me to be able to converge all these different artists that I have worked with that come on this podcast. And I understand you have a podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about yours?
Yes. Thank you so much for giving me the space to speak a little bit about it. It's called Faking Notes Podcast. And the reason why we call it that is because, you know, there's this perception in classical music that one must be complete before one can participate. But at the core of everything, especially the undergoing a 21st century artist entrepreneur journey, you need to fake it. You need to fake it to make mistakes. You need to fake it to like test things. You need to have the humility to keep getting up when you fall down. And that's why we call it Faking Notes Podcast, because at the end of the day, everybody's faking it. And
baby, you ain't said nothing but a word.
Say, do you feel them? You feel them? You know, and it's, you've got several episodes. I think I alluded to it a little bit earlier. The podcast is really a wonderful mirror and reflection of you and your life and your career. Yes, the music is front and center most often, but you're touching on some of those other things you learned in your undergraduate experience between business, between understanding scales of economy. And I believe you do a lot of stuff with like cryptocurrency. Do you, while we've got the time, can we hear just a short snippet of one of your podcast episodes?
Yes. This one is just mostly, it kind of talks about the act of practicing. But I think this little analogy that I share here can be applied to building a career, building up an investment portfolio, all of the above. And I think it could be, it's a really fun little illustration I came up with on the spot.
Wonderful.
I think the life balance is super huge. You don't want to burn out. It's a marathon. Always remember that. It's a marathon. And one thing that is just underestimated is just like the value of time. Time is like this wonderful thing that is a multiplier on your progression as a human. Like if you really just have the patience to plant the seed and just water it whenever it needs it. If you're planting the seed of becoming a professional musician, an instrumentalist, you planted the seed by choosing an instrument. Now you have to water that plant every day, just a little bit, you know, and over time, you know, that little seed will grow into a plant. You could stop and eat the leaves of that plant and call it a day, or you could maybe have a little bit of patience, continue to water it, savor it for a little bit later. The plant grows into a tree, and you could chop the tree down. You could make paper from it. You know, you could like do whatever you want with that lumber, or you could have a little bit more patience, continue to water it, and then wait till it bears fruit. And then, you know, you could take that fruit, you could eat it, call it a day, or you can eat some of the fruit, take some of the other fruit, take those seeds and go plant another tree, right? And start the process over again. Like, it just depends on like what you want. And so having that perspective of time in the macro and going backwards will really help guide you into what you should be doing today.
Baby boy, you are wise.
I was
going to
say, yes, he is.
And your mama and daddy did a good job.
Thank you.
I tell students all the time, it takes nothing to be nice. And I can truly say, you're a nice man. And I have enjoyed this podcast and the wisdom that has fallen from your little tiny young lips.
See, Drew, this is why, she Auntie Angela to all of us and so many. You know, a couple things before we kind of wrap this up just a little bit. There is another piece that we want to hear. But before that, you're in such demand. Like you're based in LA currently, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yes, so indeed. A little bit of a time difference. We woke you up early this morning so we could have you here. And we say, thank you. You're super booked. I mean, you've got so much going on. From what you're able to share, what are some of the current projects that you have coming up or tours that you're doing? And how do we follow you and get to know all things that is That Viola Kid?
Well, you can find me on the internet at That Viola Kid, pretty much everywhere except TikTok and Snapchat. On those platforms, I'm Oh Snap, it's TVK,
because
Gen Zers,
nice.
They snapped it up from me. But essentially what's going on right now is I'm working on this podcast, personally for what, Fake Nose Podcast, but what I'm working on as an individual is I'm working on a sample pack. I'm calling it Opus One right now. It may retain that name, but it's going to be Viola Samples for producers. Mm-hmm. I literally just got off the phone with a friend of mine yesterday. We're going to be creating an NFT project that's going to utilize a certain classical public domain composer. And we're going to combine art and the sound, and we're going to sell that as a high-end NFT that can be used for education and just like a really cool entry point into classical music. And then finally, I'm getting together with my friend D Sharp, who is a wonderful violinist and content creator, who's a brother. And we've thought, okay, so why is Black History Month the shortest month of the year? And why are all these white people listening? Why do they think that white history is the only history of America? And when actually American history is Black history. So I was like, yo, what if every month was Black History Month?
Yes.
And we were like, okay, bet. Let's start talking about some players from the past, some Black string players from the past that are killing that nobody even knows. Mm-hmm. And let's bring them into 21st century. So we're going to be working on a project for YouTube of that nature as well. So I got a little bit stewing, and that has nothing to do with like the concerts I'm doing. I'm playing with candlelight concerts out here in San Diego. It's still kind of rolling in, doing weddings and things like that. So we're out here gigging.
I love it. Yay. Work on. One more piece that we want to hear. Is this a string quartet? What's the piece that you have for this one?
Yeah, so this is another cover. It's a Post Malone cover, his hit song Sunflower. And this was a collaboration between the Vitamin String Quartet and myself. And it was a real watershed moment. I grew up listening to the Vitamin String Quartet because they're known for taking pop music and arranging it for a classical string quartet, mm-hmm. two violins, a violist, and a cellist. And I got to collaborate with them as a soloist on this. And so this was really fun. Really fun project.
All right. Let's take a listen. Thank you.
I am over here smiling from ear to ear. I tell you, I have loved every minute of this episode. You know, Mr. Ford or Drew Baby, you truly are that Viola kid, and you are absolutely blazing a trail of entrepreneurship, artistry, and commitment to being your authentic self. I appreciate you, and I know your mama and daddy are so proud of you, and I ain't mad at nobody for loving you, honey. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure.
Hey, man, we're big fans, and so to everyone listening out there, the land of podcasts and on social media, check this brother out. So, Mr. Ford, thank you, because I know between me and Auntie Angela, you have certainly gained another follower in cyberspace and in real life. I promise you have.
Yeah.
So,
I appreciate you.
Of course. With that, on a note of encouragement, inspiration, and sage words from someone wise behind his years, I'm Joshua Thompson.
And I'm Angela Brown.
And this has been Melanated Moments in Classical Music.
Melanated Moments in Classical Music is a production of Classical Music Indie. Our producers are Ezra Baker-Trupiano and Adam Finassier. Our theme music was composed by Laura Carton.
Melanated Moments in Classical Music is made possible in part by the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. Additional support comes from the Indy Arts Council and the City of Indianapolis.
Our podcast partners are Morning Brown Incorporated and Symphony Tacoma.